Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Chulin Ayin Zayin, Chulin 77a, pagination is 153. We start at the Mishnah, which is the last third of the page. Hashochet es ha-behema, a person shechts an animal, umatza bashilya, and finds the amniotic sac. So it was a female animal, and he finds the sac, and has nothing to do with the fetus. He's not identifying the fetus, or this is independent of the fetus. We want to know what's the rule of the shilya. Now, the shilya actually is not such an unusual, far-out word. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk in the Tochacha, Pashas Kisavo, Chavches Nun Zayin, Uvishilyasa. And often translated as the afterbirth, the amniotic sac. So what is its halacha? So interestingly enough, it is an anomaly of sorts. Nefesh hayofe tochlena, a person who is hardy of heart. He's strong in that he doesn't get queasy from this. He's allowed to eat it. Ve'ena metama lo tomas ochlin velo tomas nevelos. But the shilya is not going to become tame in cases where it's only a food that would become tame. The shilya is not considered food. And therefore, if a person himself wants to eat it, you could eat wood, you could eat anything, but it's not classified as a food. And therefore, nefesh hayafa tochlena, if a person finds that it doesn't bother him, in Rashi's words, machmas mius, it's not disgusting to you, you could eat it. But it's not considered a food, velo tomas nevelos, but it is not either going to be tamei as a nevela, because it's within the animal, it's kol babahema, and the animal was shecht, and therefore, it doesn't have the status of a carcass either. Chishev aleha, if the person thought about it and intended it as a food, mitama tomas ochlin avalo tomas nevelos, then indeed it will be considered a food. It'll become tamei when foods become tamei if contacted, but it's not a nevela because it was still part of the animal. This concept that you could be choshev, you could think and change the halacha, so it's not such a foreign concept. We know in the laws of muktzah, we want to know if the owner of the item considered it waste or considered it still a usable item. And it may be dependent on whether the person is an ani, a poor person, or an ashir, a wealthy person. Different people discard things differently. When we discussed at one point the subject of, is garbage muktza, you have an interesting situation, because in some cultures, the very things that we throw into the garbage would actually be totally usable. Our garbage is not garbage, but it's garbage. We consider it garbage. A used paper towel, a used piece of tin foil, chicken bones that in a different society they would feed to the animals. We're considering it totally off limits, disgusting type of garbage. So there's definitely a concept of choshev, depending on a person's intent. We even have the concept of achshevei, where a person can take something that's not really edible, regarding Pesach, for example, it's chametz, and consider it edible. Go ahead and put it into a food, mix it in, and suddenly we have the possibility that it is now chametz, even though it wasn't a moment ago. It wasn't considered food a moment ago. The Mechaber gives a case where a person has a dough that he let harden and turned it into a stool. and it's so hard, if someone would chip something off of that and mix it into the food, totally different way of looking at it than when it is something to sit on. To get really illustrative, sometimes playgroups make activities with macaroni, and they glue the macaroni, raw macaroni, onto a paper, and people get nervous. It's chametz when it comes Pesach. It could very well be it's not chametz. It's a decoration, especially if it's spray-painted a bit. But if a person would go ahead and think, I'm going to wash the macaronis off, no big deal here, and I'll be able to cook them and eat them. So suddenly you have a person's intent can change the status of something. Continuing in the Mishnah, let's skip one line. Simen velad b'isha v'simen velad b'behema. When you're dealing with a shilya, it's an indication that there is a child, there is a fetus there. And so, hamivakeres, an animal that's giving birth to its first. Shehipila shilya, it miscarried a shilya. Yashlichenu laklovin, the ruling of the Mishnah is that you could throw it to the dogs, which is a surprising ruling, because the firstborn should be sanctified if it's a male, and we would have to bury it. You wouldn't be able to throw it to the dogs. And the Gemara elaborates on this on Amud Beis and asks, "My Taima, what indeed is the reason?" About a quarter of the way up. And the Gemara answers, because you have a rov in your favor not to have to worry that it's a bechor and has to be treated with holiness. We assume that births are 50-50%, whether it'll be male or female. Only the males are sanctified. And in addition to the males having the 50%, that would make it needy of kadosh treatment. In addition, there's certain cases of abnormalities. Nidme, if the child would be born looking like a different animal, even though it's male, it would not have the sanctity. And therefore you have a rove in your favor, a majority in your favor, that it's not sanctified. And therefore, regarding the laws of Bechor, if you find a shilya and you don't know what the fetus is, you just know that if there's a shilya, there must be a fetus, you do not have to assume that it's a Bechor, a holy one, but rather between the 50-50 of male-female, if it's female, it's not kadosh, and then the additional males that would be cases of nidme, of abnormalities, that absolve it, so you have a majority that's not kadosh, and that's why the Mishnah ruled, hamevakeres shehipila shilya, if all you have is the shilya, the amniotic sac, yashlichena laklovim, you could throw it to the dogs, you're not obligated to bury it. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.